It was their last night together. The last time being together in one place, in this community, in this way. And to be fair, the disciples had no idea. They had no idea that this was the last night of praying together, eating, drinking together, joking and laughing and being together. And it was the weekend of a big holiday celebration. They had a lot to distract them, and so no one was thinking that anything out of the ordinary was going on. And the disciples had really gelled together as a group by this point. They had traveled so far and seen so many things through their time together. Very unlikely friendships were born through this group. When they began this journey, they were just a random group of people, just a bunch of guys who are all willing to say yes when they heard Jesus call. And now they sit at the table as disciples, people who have walked along a lot of dirty streets and dusty roads following Jesus and learning from him and watching him, learning about God's healing and God's love. Some of these disciples would have gotten to see the transfiguration. They would have been there when Jesus walked on water, when he healed lepers and people's sons, people's servants. These disciples are people who have seen a lot of incredible things. But tonight, they are oblivious. They're oblivious to the incredible thing that's about to happen. They have no idea that in just a few hours, Jesus is leaving them and heading to the cross. They have no idea what kind of loss they're about to feel. They have no concept of how much their lives are going to dramatically change. This is the night before. And so this obliviousness is what happens. It's what happens to all of us. Many of us have experiences in life like this. And when we don't realize that it's the last time we're going to see this person that we love, this last time that we're going to be together as a group in this one way, the last time that we're all going to be together as a family. And sometimes those moments, when the change happens, it can come in an instant. The news of a diagnosis or the end of a relationship, the end of a job, whatever it is, everything changes. And from that moment on, you will always refer to the time before the loss. And maybe that's you tonight. Maybe that's what you're bringing into the room tonight. Or maybe you are carrying in your mind and in your heart someone in your life who has lost something in this way. I'm holding in my heart, especially those who have lost their holy sanctuaries this week, and the people of St. Mary's, Greater Union, and Mount Pleasant Baptist Churches in Louisiana, the people of France who watched the Notre Dame burn earlier this week. There has been so much incredible and significant loss. I watched the video of the Vesper service that took place in the Notre Dame just actually a few minutes before the fire broke out. And it's an ordinary service of evening prayer. It's beautiful. It's all sung, just a priest and a cantor and a congregation much like this, about this size, people gathered together to pray in the evening. You watch it, and it's a little surreal. It's almost eerie to look and see this worship happening, knowing what's about to happen. The camera pans across the congregation, and you see all these faces, all these people chanting together, the Magnificat, praying together, oblivious. They have no idea what's about to happen. And I was wondering, really, what was it that they were thinking about? What were they praying for? What did they bring with them to church that night? because they were just a random group of people. People who were tourists and regulars, people who wandered in off the streets of Paris, people who spoke French, people who spoke lots of other different languages, just a random group of people that came together that one night, and they didn't know. It was their last time of being in that place, in that particular way. When things like this happen, when loss like this happens, it's interesting to observe how our memories of the past are changed by loss. Events become charged with completely new meaning. You look back and you remember things differently. And for anyone who has ever visited Paris, I have been seeing all over social media, everybody's doing this. We're all kind of looking back and remembering the time, that one time when you were in high school and you got to go to the Notre Dame, and you pull out the scrapbooks and you look through those pictures, those grainy little photos of you standing in front of that beautiful, beautiful cathedral. And you remember the good stuff. You don't remember the jet lag or getting lost in Paris or being homesick, or even, like a teenager, looking up at that gorgeous cathedral and kind of saying, eh. You don't remember that. You just remember that you got to be there. You got to see it. You got to see that gorgeous, beautiful building. And so we all do this when we are coping with things that we have lost. We reminisce. We see things in a different light. And whatever you have lost, whether it is a beloved person in your life, a group of friends, even just a time, a season in your life when things were easier, when you lose something, you just forget about the times that were hard and all the conflicts and all the difficulties. You forget about what you even took for granted in that person or in that time in your life. Instead, you look at that memory tenderly. And you give thanks for what was good and what was lasting and what was true. Remembrance is one of the first lessons of Maundy Thursday, because this is the night that Jesus teaches his disciples about the power of remembrance. He shows them that in remembering, things may be made real again. This was a lesson the Israelites learned in the desert when they were saved from slavery in Egypt in the miracle of Passover. And in our Exodus reading, you heard God actually ordained that day as a feast of remembrance for the people. They were required to formally remember it so they would never forget that powerful night that their lives were saved. And the Israelites could even experience it all over again, simply by telling the story to their children and to their grandchildren. God's love was made real in remembering. And Jesus does this same thing when he breaks bread with his disciples and says, "Do this in remembrance of me." He shows them how to wash one another's feet as a sign of servanthood, as a sign of a remembrance of their place and our place in that great kingdom together as servants to one another. And all of these are signs of God's love, all of these rituals that we will participate in tonight. We are called to remember. We will allow our feet to be washed, and we will remember how Jesus once did this for the people that he loved. We will find ourselves at that table with the disciples, with our hands outstretched, ready to receive that gift. And when that bread is broken, Jesus is made real again. And all of us, all these members of Christ's body, are made one again. We are remembered. The members are put back together again. The other important lesson of Maundy Thursday is love. John's gospel says that Jesus, having loved his own while he was in the world, loved them to the end. And in a few minutes, our choir is going to be singing Ubi Caritas, I think right before communion. And this is a song that we sing every year, and the words mean, God is love. That wherever there is love in the world, wherever there is love, sincerity, goodness, God will always be there. And I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly hopeful. It makes thinking about loss, thinking about my loss and all of our losses that we bear a little easier. Maundy Thursday shows us that God's love, God's incredible, powerful love is going on all the time, all the while, even when we are oblivious to it. There might be a temptation here, at least among some of us, to feel a little guilty at not recognizing that love when we see it. Like, you might be the disciple that was so distracted from seeing Jesus at the supper table, he doesn't even remember the fact that Jesus broke bread and gave it to them. I know I fear that. I worry about that. I think that if only I could have paid better attention, I could have seen, I could have known, I could have acted differently. Maybe you're like that too. We just can't stand that we might have missed the whole point. But the love of God expands even to the most clueless of us all. Even this mindlessness, Jesus forgives. He forgave the disciples, the ones who didn't notice, the ones who were so preoccupied with whatever it was they brought into the room that night that they couldn't be there with him. He forgave it. He forgave them all. He forgave Simon Peter and Thomas and Andrew and even, yes, even Judas. He forgave. Jesus says, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And so he calls us back to that scene of his sacrifice and encourages us to look at it with tenderness. That means looking back at loss with hope. After the fire, after the diagnosis, after the cross, you will one day understand. It doesn't make sense now, but one day you will see it differently. You might even learn to appreciate the love that was there all along. One day you will see whatever it is that you're supposed to see when you're ready to see it. All the things that we couldn't have known or about, or things that we couldn't have ever understood before. What we are called to do tonight is to be present, to see, to watch, to allow water to touch our feet, to allow our hands to touch bread, and our ears to be touched by those blessed, wonderful words of take, eat, this is my body. Take this, drink this, all of you, drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. We're called to be present, to receive all of these gifts. This liturgy asks us to be present to loss, but it also asks us to be present to love. So show up tonight. Show up to that powerful, tender love, love incarnate, God's love. And watch how Jesus shows his love in things like water and towels and bread and wine, and music, and community. And then, watch how these things are stripped away in a terrible loss. But in the greatest act of love that Jesus could ever, ever give to us. Jesus says to his disciples, "Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. And where I am going, you cannot come." It was their last night together. And tonight we get to join them. So be present. Look at this scene tenderly. Hold fast to the hope that all is not lost forever. For God's love for us continues even now, even in the midst of loss, even in the midst of fire and difficult diagnosis, even in the face of the cross, God's love continues. And new life is right around the corner.